12:15, so it's a good time for us to start here at 7:15. And the topic of tonight's shiur, and I hope you got the Baruch Mekomos, is Arvus B'Mitzvos, which means that one person can implement the mitzvah on behalf of someone else, one individual or many. In this context, we're going to sort of begin from the left field. You know, we're going to have to introduce this topic from a different sugya, and this is the sugya in Brachos Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, which, according to most Rishonim, in their interpretation of the sugya, is the sugya of Tosefes Shabbos, which means I can accept Shabbos earlier. And there's a major controversy as to what the status of Tosefes Shabbos is. Are we dealing with a Doraisa? That's a main school of thought. Or are we dealing with only a Derabanan? And perhaps Tosefes Shabbos doesn't even exist at all, which seems to be the opinion of the Rambam, as we'll soon see. What we want to study today is the Gemara that recommends the possibility, at least, of davening the Friday night Tfilas Arvis Shel Shabbos before Shabbos. And the Gemara establishes that Mispalel Adam Shel Shabbos be Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara even records that Rav Tzoli Shel Erev Shabbos Shel Shabbos be Erev Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to raise an issue whether or not Rav, at that point in time, after he finished Ma'ariv, and it's Erev Shabbos, meaning the sun hasn't set yet, did he recite Kiddush Alakos or did he not recite Kiddush Alakos? And the Gemara vacillates back and forth on that question. This is all, of course, very relevant in our contemporary situation with regard to the summer months, where it's quite a common tradition to accept Shabbos early, and certainly we're going to daven Ma'ariv early. The question is Kiddush. With regard to Kiddush, as I said before, the Gemara vacillates, but let's focus on that opinion in the Gemara that even Kiddush Alakos could be recited while it is still light out. And the way we're going to interpret this is by analyzing the Rimi Korbil and many other Rishonim who understood from this sugya that if you can make Kiddush and it's still light out, we have to derive the conclusion that Tosefes Shabbos is Doraisa. Meaning we're working with the following premises. Premise number one is that the Chovas Kiddush is Doraisa. Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The Rambam dedicates an entire chapter to that at the end of Hilchos Shabbos, and it's counted in the Tarryag Mitzvah, so Mitzvah Doraisa. Premise number two is that there is an institution called Tosefes Shabbos. Premise number three is I can only fulfill my mitzvah of Kiddush Doraisa if I presume that Tosefes Shabbos is Doraisa. And this is indeed the proof that's adduced by many Rishonim that Tosefes Shabbos is Doraisa. And before we go on, I just want to emphasize that proof predicates that in fact Rav did make Kiddush Mibo'od Yom, and the Gemara itself is not sure about that. It could very well be that he had to wait till Vaday Laila Mishachashecha in order to recite Kiddush, and the reason for that would be because Kiddush is Doraisa and Tosefes Shabbos is not. It's only Derabbanan. But be that as it may, this school of Rishonim understood that Rav, and that's the codified halacha, would not only daven Ma'ariv before Laila, but he would go ahead and make Kiddush as well. So in addition to the Kiddush during Ma'ariv, he's got the Kiddush Alakos, both of which were recited before nightfall. How could that be? If Tosefes Shabbos is only a rabbinic institution, how could you obtain a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush at a time when the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos is only derabbanan? And therefore, as I said at the outset, this school of thought raises the banner, waves the flag of Tosefes Shabbos is Doraisa. The Rambam, on the other hand, only quotes Tosefes in one context. And that is in Hilchos Shvisas Osar with regard to Yom HaKippurim, as far as the mitzvah v'nisem es nafshos seichem. The Torah, if you recall, says in Parashat Zemar, b'tshii, in the ninth day of Tishrei. How could it be that v'nisem should apply in the ninth? And the Gemara at the end of Yuma derives from this pasuk, Tosefes Inui, that we start abstaining from all the five categories of Inui before nightfall. The Rambam doesn't blink and doesn't whisper a word about Tosefes in any other context. Not in Yom HaKippurim with regard to Malacha, only with regard to Inui, nor with regard to Shabbos. And many of the Mefarshim and the Nosei came on the Rambam derive a conclusion from this omission of the Rambam, that the Rambam understood that the law of Tosefes only applies to Tosefes Inui on Yom HaKippurim. Granted that premise, we're really quite stuck in trying to understand how you can make Kiddush Mibod Yom. There's no Tosefes Shabbos at this point because the Rambam doesn't recognize the institution of Tosefes Shabbos, the entity of. So then, how could you make Kiddush? And the Rambam passes that Kiddush is a mitzvah, and it's certainly a mitzvah d'oraisa, as a matter of fact. What do we do with that? In any event, it could be that we'll come back to this point a little bit later. I hope so, depending on time. But now I want to study with you the main source for today, and that is the Mardechai. The Mardechai quotes Rabbeinu Tuvia Mivina, who says that Tosefes Shabbos is the Rabbanan. And therefore, the question arises, it's not as radical and profound as the question we raised against the Rambam, who doesn't recognize Tosefes Shabbos, but it is nevertheless a very important question, because if Tosefes Shabbos is the Rabbanan, can a Maisa which is done to fulfill a chiyuv derabbanan count for a mitzvah d'oraisa? And offhand, based on the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf, the answer is quite clear: no, you cannot take a mitzvah derabbanan and use it to be yotze yedei chovas of a mitzvah d'oraisa. And here's the classical case: Birkas Hamazon, women are obligated in Birkas HaMazon on a Derabbanan level. Correct? Only Midrabbanan. And the Gemara establishes that a woman cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon on behalf of a man. In other words, in the halacha of Yotza Motzi, which means that Midin Arvus, somebody could recite a bracha or do a mitzvah on behalf of someone else, that can only apply if they both, the motzi and the yotze, the one who wants to be yotze, the motzi and the yotze, if they both share the exact same chiyuv. So insofar as both Reuven and Shimon have a chiyuv d'oraisa, that's fine, Reuven can be motzi Shimon. Insofar as Reuven and Shimon are both chayv mirabbana, Reuven can be motzi Shimon. But if Reuven's chiyuv is only derabbanan, he cannot be motzi Shimon insofar as Shimon's chiyuv is doraisa. And the law of arvus doesn't apply in such a case. So you don't say yotza motzi, that I can be motzi you. And therefore, a woman who's only obligated in birkas hamazon midrabbanan, because the Torah says al aretz asher nasat alonu in the parasha of birkas hamazon, and she wasn't part of chalukas aretz. Again, according to that side in the Gemara, that Birkas HaMazon for Nisha is only Durabbanon, she cannot recite Birkas HaMazon on behalf of a man. So therefore, we're stuck in a real problem here, because if I grant you that Tosefes Shabbos is only a mitzvah Durabbanon, which is the premise of Rabbeinu Tuvia, how then can I use a mitzvah Durabbanon to obtain, to alleviate my responsibility of a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush? And here's where Rabbeinu Tuvia, which you'll see here in the second paragraph on your page one, comes up with a, shall we call it a revolution of sorts, and we're going to have to rack our brains to analyze the underlying logic of this revolution, as I call it. He says the following. There's a difference between the status of a woman, according to that shita, that she's only obligated to be rabbanan and birkas hamazon, and the case of Tosefes Shabbos. And that is the following, that whereas with regard to an isha, she will never become obligated in the midst of birkas hamazon on a doraisa level, and therefore she cannot be motzi as hanoshim, and that's called kol she'eino mechuyev b'dovrein motzi as harabim yidei chovaso as acherim yidei chovaso. A woman doesn't have, as we said before, a Torah chiyuv. A chiyuv d'rabbanon is not enough to be motzi a chiyuv d'oraisa. In contrast, however, when we get to the case of Tosefes Shabbos, although Tosefes Shabbos is d'rabbanon, but that mitzvah will become d'oraisa. It will, if I can use the term, mature and develop to become a mitzvah d'oraisa. Again, I'm not telling you we understand Rabbeinu Tuvia. We're going to really have to figure this out. But basically, his distinction is between a chiyuv d'rabbanan that will eventually upgrade itself to a chiyuv d'oraisa, as opposed to a chiyuv d'rabbanan that's stuck and can never go beyond that. Now, in a moment, we're going to see how far-reaching this chiddush of Rabbeinu Tuvia is. Rabbeinu Tuvia is going to derive from this the conclusion that a suma, a blind person who's exempt from mitzvos min haTorah, he's not chayv min deraisa, he's only chayv min rabbanon, he can be motzi a pikeach yidei chovaso, despite the fact that the pikeach who can see is obligated min deraisa. In other words, according to the analysis of Rabbeinu Tuvia, we have now a breakthrough in which a derabbanan could be motzi a doraisa, as long as I can anticipate the likelihood, maybe even the possibility, of that chiyuv derabbanan maturing and evolving to a mitzvah doraisa. It is enough to be motzi a chiyuv doraisa, even though now at the moment it's a chiyuv derabbanan. So in the case of kiddush on Tosefes Shabbos, despite the fact that that mitzvah of Tosefes, of observing the Shabbos and all its mitzvahs, right now at this moment is only derabbanan, because it will develop and mature to become a mitzvah d'oraisa, we already see it now, so to speak, as a mitzvah d'oraisa. In the sense that you could be yotzei your chiyuv d'oraisa when you implement your chiyuv derabbanan, insofar as that derabbanan will become or could become a mitzvah d'oraisa. The first question that we want to raise, and again there are many questions, is that it doesn't seem to be relevant the fact that Shabbos will emerge as a mitzvah d'oraisa in the next hour or two. Right now it's not Shabbos. Meaning, although midrabbanan, you've accepted upon yourself Tosefes Shabbos, it is Shabbos, but on a d'oraisa level it's not yet Shabbos. I can understand that if you want to classify someone as a bar chiyuva, despite the fact that at the moment that we're up to in time, he's only chayv min rabbanan, but he's a bar chiyuva because of his relationship to this mitzvah. He will have this chova come down the line. I can begin to somehow absorb that concept. But what relevance does that have to the case of Tosefes Shabbos, which will emerge as a chiyuv d'oraisa when Shabbos comes in? So what? Right now it's not Shabbos. You want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha. It's not Shabbos on a Torah level. It's Shabbos Mirabbanon, but not Midoraisa. So how in tarnation can we accept this analogy, which, by the way, again, I'm going to repeat, Rabbeinu Tuvia applies that to the case of Suma, and he's willing to classify a Suma as a Bar Chiyuva insofar as he will or he might see later on, you know, he'll undergo eye surgery, and he'll be able to see, and therefore he's a Bar Chiyuva already now, while he's a Suma to be Motzi, Mechuyev d'oraisa pikeach. Okay, that's one concept. You want to do that, that's okay. But to anticipate Shabbos before Shabbos, that I can't understand. Now, in this essay, which is written by Rav Ozer, he asks a slightly different question, but I think substantially it's the same. And if you'll take a look, he writes, and this is on the bottom of your page 1, that imagine a case of somebody who blows the shofar in the middle of the year. On Tu Bishvat, he blows shofar. Or, for example, someone who, in the middle of the week, decides for himself that he's going to accept upon himself Shabbos. It's impossible. There's no way that you can convert a time period that's not endowed with the status of Rosh Hashanah in the case of Shofar, or Shabbos in the case of Kiddush, with the status of as if the Moed is upon us. You know, it's absolutely ludicrous to blow the Shofar in the middle of the year. It's ludicrous to recite Kiddush in the middle of the week. So obviously what we need is a Tziruf, which you'll see here on page 2, if you're turning to page 2. And in the context of this Tziruf, we need some sort of time period that, because it's so close to the Doraisa, it's meaningful to fulfill that mitzvah Doraisa. That would be fine if Tosefa Shabbos allows me midoraisa to accept the Shabbos earlier. But if the Torah doesn't recognize Tosefa Shabbos, and the whole institution is the Rabbanon, then Erev Shabbos, even 1 minute before Tzeis HaKochavim, or Shkia, I'm not getting into that issue, is like the middle of the week. It's not Shabbos. So how can you possibly recite Kiddush? The second objection to Rabbeinu Tovia is raised by the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Samach Zayin, a brilliant kash of the Magen Avraham. What do we do with the case of a katan? A katan who's not bar mitzvah cannot be motzi a gadol. No way, no how. And that's also mafurish in the same sugya in Brachos Daf Chof. Wait a minute. According to the logic of Rabbeinu Tovia, why not say the following? The katan is chayev midrabanan. That's called a mitzvah of chinuch, of course. And we can anticipate that down the line he's going to become a gadol, be chayev midraisa. According to you, Rabbeinu Tovia, that a person gains the status of a bar chiyuva because we anticipate that although now, presently, at this moment, he's only chayev midrabanan, but he will be chayev midraisa, why can't a katan be motzi a gadol? And take a look at the language of the Magen Avraham here, as quoted in the second paragraph of page 2. Maishno miktanim, the Isa v'Gemara, hoel v'chiyuva eina l'dvarvan eini motzi asagdolim yudei chavasa v'daraisa, hare ktanim yavol l'dei chiyuv daraisa l'achar zman. Now the chayiv v'drabanon. Now, again, whether a katan is actually chayiv v'drabanon, as you and I know, is a gigantic controversy. Many Rishonim hold that it's the father who's chayiv. The chiyuv is not incumbent upon the child. The child is not a bar chiyuv at all. The Torah doesn't recognize him as mature enough, so to speak, to be chayiv in mitzvahs. But there is an entire slew of Rishonim. The Rambam is very complicated in what his sheet is, but many Rishonim, amongst them Tosfos and others, are of the opinion that a katan is chayiv in chinuch in all mitzvahs midrabanan. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about giving wine to a katan in Avdolah during the 9 days, and that would also hinge on whether or not chinuch is incumbent on the child. If it is, I don't know if you want to give the child the wine during the 9 days. But Rav Moshe assumes that although a katan is chayev midrabanan in chinuch, but not when it comes to avelus. Avelus was one exception that was left out of the chiyuv of chinuch. Okay, that's off on a tangent. Now what we want to do is, having mentioned these two kashas, these two objections against Rabbeinu Tovia, we want to introduce the presentation of Rabbeinu Elchanan. Rabbeinu Elchanan, as you all know, is famous for two of his works, the Kovat Shiurim and the Kovat Ha'oros, both very lumdisha works, which give us a clear-cut Derech HaLimud, which I think is the brisket Derech HaLimud that Rav Elchanan inherited from Reb Chaim. And he wrote other works, for example, there's a Kovetz Ma'amorim, which are more philosophical, hashkafic essays, but these are the two mainstays. So we're going to study the Kovetz Shiurim, which is summarized here midway in the middle of page 2. So if you're looking at the text, you'll see the following. I'm going to try to summarize this in my language, and hopefully you'll see most of it in the words of Rebbe Elchanan. Rebbe Elchanan says the following: for Reuven to be Motzi Shimon, there are two conditions that have to be met. This already is the Derech of Reb Chaim. You know, it's Tzvei Dinim, as we call it. Shtei Halachot. One halacha is that the person has to have a chiyuv. And if he doesn't have a chiyuv, then he can't possibly be motzi someone. So the first condition is what he calls chiyuv befal. In actuality, he has a chiyuv. Again, it could be that he was yotze the chiyuv already earlier, but he has the chiyuv. Number two, we have another category, and that is that the motzi, in order to allow, facilitate for someone else to be yotze, has to be a gavra bar chiyuva. Now, it's interesting because when you hear these two dinim, they sound awfully similar. But one really reflects the mitzvah itself, the other reflects the gavra. So we need that there be a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the gavra, and then we need to classify the gavra and give him the status of a bar chiyuva. Okay, all this sounds very, very abstract. Let's try to see if we can take it down one level and apply it in a real situation. Let's take the case of a chiyuv derabban. So, for example, in Tosefes Shabbos, according to Rabbi Netuvia, all we can end up with is a chiyuv derabban. A chiyuv derabbanan is sufficient to fulfill the first condition, namely that what you're doing is fulfilling your obligation. Despite the fact that it's a rabbinic obligation, the Torah recognizes that as an obligation. If, you know, maybe later on we'll talk about this, but maybe we could call it lo sasa mikol hashayirucha. You know, we have to listen to the chachamim. But whatever it is, a mitzvah, a chovah derabbanan, is a chiyuv. And that fulfills the first requirement that the motzi is mechuyev b'dav. However, with regard to the second condition, to create a gavra bar chiyuva, here we require a gavra bar chiyuva no less, not inferior to the gavra bar chiyuva who's going to be yotze, Shimon, as we called him. Reuven's status as a bar chiyuva has to reflect and mirror image the same status of a bar chiyuva as that of Shimon. Because if they're not equal, then Reuven, insofar as his status as a bar chiyuva is inferior to that of Shimon, Reuven cannot be motzi Shimon. He's not called, he hasn't reached the, you know, past the litmus test, the red line of becoming a bar chiyuva. So let's read it inside. With regard to the second Tanai, he says, in Yonahu shekol she'eno mechuyev b'davar eno motzi eschavero hamechuyev v'lazet tzarech she'bar chiyuva midoraisa, he has to be a gavra bar chiyuva on the same identical level as chavero, as his friend that he wants to be motzi. For this, eno moil chiyuv derabana. A chiyuv derabana will not help us. In other words, when we want to judge if a person is bar chiyuv or not, what we need for that is a chiyuv doraisa. Okay, now here comes the next line. Al kein kvar ata mechuyev b'mitzvah zu lichshiyegia zmana shrei kol adam biyosa bar mitzvah nichnas b'chiyuv kol ha-mitzvahs gam osan shadayin lo higia zman chiyuv before. Okay. This is a real mouthful. Rebbe Elchanan says the following. What's the chiddush, what's the breakthrough of Rabbeinu Tuvia? Rabbeinu Tuvia assumes that even a chiyuv derabbanan is enough to obtain a mitzvah doraisa on behalf of someone else. But the problem is a chiyuv doraisa doesn't make you, a chiyuv derabbanan, excuse me, doesn't make you into bar chiyuv. Here's where Rabbeinu Tuvia comes up with a chat. He says the following. Let's ask this individual if he's included in all the mitzvahs. In other words, does the Torah recognize him as a bar chiyuva with regard to all mitzvahs? Question number one. Question number two. This mitzvah that he wants to implement now, is that included in klal ha-mitzvahs? Says Rabbeinu Tuvia, if this mitzvah will develop and mature to become a mitzvah d'oraisa, then it belongs, it has membership in the group of klal ha-mitzvahs. What makes me into a bar chiyuva? My relationship with klal ha-mitzvahs. And kiddush is bichlal ha-mitzvahs. This is what Rabbeinu Tuvia means when he says that down the line, he's going to be chayev in the midst of kiddush d'oraisa. He can obtain and fulfill his chayev d'oraisa now. Why? Because two conditions are met. Condition number one, he's chayev in this mitzvah. It's not a meaningless act. It's not, you know, some sort of parva, neutral, mundane act. It's got the level of a mitzvah act, even if it's only derabbana, but that gives it the status of a ma'isa mitzvah d'oraisa, even though it's the chiyuv is derabbana. And number two, if you ask me if he's considered a gavra bar chiyuva, says Rabbeinu Tuvia, the barometer is going to be, will he be chayav in this mitzvah midoraisa down the line? If he will be, if your answer is in the affirmative, then this mitzvah is considered bichlal mitzvos. And this gavra is considered a bar chiyuva in klala mitzvos, even though at this particular moment in time he's not mitzuva in the midst of kiddush in this particular paradigm. But nevertheless, since insofar as kiddush is swallowed up by the general category of mitzvahs, all of which are doraisa, including kiddush, and insofar as the fact that this gavra is a bar chiyuva in all mitzvahs, then he's considered a bar chiyuva even in the midst of kiddush. The fact that right at this moment in time, he is not chayav midoraisa is irrelevant in order to engender the status of a bar chiyuva. So basically, Rabbeinu Tuvia is predicated on two different chidushim. And you have to, you know, you can fight with each one of the chidushim. The first chidush is that a chiyuv d'rabbanan is enough to upgrade the ma'isa into a ma'isa mitzvah. The Torah itself recognizes that act as a ma'isa mitzvah. Now we have to get to stage two. It's not enough to be considered a ma'isa mitzvah in order to fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa. You have to be a gavra bar chiyuva. If you're not a gavra bar chiyuva, you can't obtain a mitzvah d'oraisa. The answer is, says Rabbeinu Tuvia, and here's the radical breakthrough, is that insofar as this gavra is chayav in all the mitzvahs, bichlal, and he's going to be chayav in this particular mitzvah, bifrat, as part of the klal, ein bifrat, mashi ish bichlal, namely kiddush, he will become chayav in d'oraisa down the line, then kiddush now is swallowed up in the membership of klal mitzvahs. He's a bar chiyuv in klal mitzvahs, therefore he's a bar chiyuva in the midst of kiddush. So let's just read it inside. In contrast, he says, in the case of nashim, even though women in Birkas HaMazon are chayavos midrabanan, so in that sense their action of blessing Hashem in Birkas HaMazon is meaningful and can be upgraded and recognized as a bona fide ma'isa mitzvah d'oraisa, nevertheless, hoil v'einon bos li'olam l'dei chiyuv d'oraisa. As far as women is concerned, this mitzvah birkas hamazon will never ever mature into a mitzvah d'oraisa. So we talk about a woman as a bar chiyuv in klala mitzvos, that klala mitzvos is to the exclusion of kiddush. It's to the exclusion of birkas hamazon. Birkas hamazon is left milabar, it's left on the outside as far as klala mitzvahs is concerned. So again, even though with regard to an isha birkas hamazon, we can check off the first requirement, she does have a chiyuv d'rabbanan, and that's fine, but nevertheless, we cannot check off the second requirement and establish her status as that of a bar chiyuv. If that be the case, my friends, then the answer to the Magen Avraham's question is absolutely jumping out of the pages, because the Magen Avraham is assuming in the context of Rabbeinu Tuvia that all we have to do is say that, you know, this person will become chayev d'oraisa, and then we can somehow retroactively make him chayev now. That's not, and therefore a katan, insofar as he will become chayev d'oraisa, we should allow him the status of a bar chiyuva to be motzi a gadol. And that's his objection against Rabbeinu Tuvia. It doesn't get off the ground. Because again, Rabbeinu Tuvia is using the future as an indication that this mitzvah is part of klal ha-mitzvos, and we have a gavra bar chiyuva who's chayv in klal ha-mitzvos, but in this case of a katan, he's not a gavra bar chiyuva in any of the mitzvahs. As far as the Torah is concerned, he doesn't share any of the mitzvahs ha-Torah, and therefore, he's not a gavra bar chiyuva. But now we're going to talk about Summa. I want to take just a break for a minute in case anyone has any questions now. The Rambam doesn't acknowledge the existence of Tosefes Shabbos. So again, let me just, Rabbosa, I just want to take again 1 minute of your time to review what we just said. Not for you, but for me. And that is that although Rabbi Chanan does seem to give us a tremendous insight and a structure for understanding Rabbeinu Tuvia, we are stuck to some extent with Rabbeinu Tuvia's analogy to the case of Summa, because it's hard to call Summa someone who's a Bar Chiyuva because he's shayach to Klal HaMitzvah. The Summa is not shayach to the Chiyuva in Klal HaMitzvah. So how can you maintain that the Summa is a Bar Chiyuva because we anticipate at some point down the line he'll undergo some sort of surgery, restore his eyesight? I mean, that doesn't make sense. You know, you can talk about being a Bar Chiyuv in Kiddush, even though Tosefes Shabbos is the Rabbanah, because you are Chayev in Klal HaMitzvahs, including Kiddush D'oraisa when it comes around. But in the case of Summa, who's not Chayev in Klal HaMitzvahs, how could Rabbeinu Tuvia be justified in making that extension and assuming that a Summa can be Motzi of Pikeach as if he were a Bar Chiyuva? And that makes Rabbi Elchanan's approach very difficult within the context of the presentation of Rabbeinu Tuvia. And we offered one possible, shall we say, way out, and that is perhaps Rabbeinu Tuvia would understand that a Summa is fundamentally Chayav in mitzvahs. The Torah gave him a Ptur in mitzvahs, but he's a Gavra Bar Chiyuva in Klal HaMitzvahs. And that might make sense in the context of Tosu Megillah, Daf Yutes, regarding the case of a Summa Shenistama, that he became blind. He was born with sight, he was a Bar Chiyuva, and then he became blind. Okay. Now, let's go back to the Rambam Shita. The Rambam, if you recall, does not recognize Tosefes Shabbos. And if that be the case, how do we understand that the Gemara establishes that you can daven and recite Kiddush when it's still light out, based on the halacha of Tosefes Shabbos? Kiddush is a chiyuv d'oraisa. It doesn't seem to make any sense. So here we want to introduce a very, very basic and world-class brisker chakira. And that is the difference between a chiyuv and a kiyum. What the Rambam means when he limits the mitzvah and the chova of Tosefes to the case of Inu Yom HaKippurim is he's talking about the chiyuv. There's no chovas gavra to accept upon oneself Tosefes Shabbos, or for that matter Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, as far as Malach is concerned, only as far as Inu. However, the Rambam doesn't deny, and could not possibly deny, because there's so many proofs to Tosefes Shabbos throughout Shas, the entity of Tosefes Shabbos as a kiyum mitzvah. Again, you could always ask the question why the Rambam didn't codify Tosefes Shabbos as a kiyum mitzvah, and we have to search through the Mishnah Torah very carefully and see what we can find and what we cannot find. But according to this approach, the Rambam does not exclude Tosefes Shabbos as a kiyum mitzvah. It does qualify as a kiyum mitzvah. And where do we find a paradigm case of a Rishon who seems to deny a mitzvah but nevertheless would accept that mitzvah, paradoxically? The Ramban with regard to tefillah. And you all know that the Ramban is masig on the Rambam, and although the Rambam incorporates tefillah, as one of the Taryag, the Ramban is masig, and he removes it from the list. So Rav Chaim asked the question, are you telling me that according to the Ramban there's no such thing as an entity of tefillah? The answer is that the Ramban holds there's no chiyuv tefillah on a Torah level, with the exception of eight tzara, but that's a different discussion. But nevertheless, the Ramban is not going to deny that when I stand up and I daven mincha, I'm a kayam in mitzvah d'oraisa. So the entity of tefillah is d'oraisa, even according to the Ramban. And therefore, one could say that according to the Rambam, when we get to Tosefah Shabbos, if it's close enough to Shabbos, although I am exempt, I'm alleviated from any obligation to accept upon myself Shabbos, but nevertheless, I can recite Kiddush, because once I've accepted Shabbos, that is a Kiyum Doraisa. The Kiyum Doraisa is sufficient to engender a mitzvah of Kiddush. And in that context, we can begin to make sense out of Suma. That a Suma, perhaps like the case of Tosefah Shabbos, although he's not obligated in the mitzvah, nevertheless, if he goes ahead and implements the mitzvah, he is Mekayim a Chiyuv Derabbanan, but a Kiyum Dorais. Because the Torah does not exclude a Suma from a Kiyum. It only alleviates him from the Chiyuv. And now if you'll take a look on the bottom of your page 3, we're going to present now another approach to Rabbeinu Tuvia, and that's the approach of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich Yeshiva, Zichrono Livracha, and it goes like this. He says that as far as a Chiyuv is concerned, a Chiyuv Derabbanan is sufficient. So far, so good, this is it's the same as Rebbe Chanan. However, to classify someone as a Gavra Bar Chiyuva, it's not enough to say that he's Chayiv Midrabbanan, and he can be Motzi Acherim Yedei Chovasan. But there's another issue that has to be analyzed and brought to the fore. And that is, again, I'm going to read the language of Rav Shmuel, but I'm going to translate if you allow me that poetic license into my language. He says, "Kidei lahotzi acherim tzarech shehe al hadavar sheosa shem mitzvah o shem bracha. V'lachein tzarech shehe mechuyev b'davar b'fo'al. She'im lo kein amiraso eina el kitzifzuf azarzir v'eina bracha." Okay. According to Rav Shmuel, to make someone into a Gavra Bar Chiyuva, that is because otherwise his action, his bracha, in the case of brachos, is meaningless on a Doraisa level. And therefore, how could someone else be Yotze Yedei Chovasa with that bracha that he heard if that bracha is meaningless? The bracha only gets upgraded to the status of a meaningful bracha if and when the person is obligated in that bracha. If and when the person is obligated in that mitzvah. So basically what Rav Shmuel is doing is, he's really taking the issue at stake here of arvus b'mitzvahs and Rabbeinu Tuvia, and he's putting it in a totally different light. And if you allow me to translate into my language, what we're saying is that a Chiyuv Derabbanan is enough, but the issue is not the Chiyuv. The issue is creating what I call a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah or a Cheftza Shel Bracha. Insofar as the Torah is concerned, since the Torah doesn't recognize this Bracha, the bracha, therefore, is devoid of the status of a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. And as such, no one else could plug into it. Meaning, the halacha that Shimon could be Yotzi through Reuven is because Shimon somehow plugs in to Reuven's action or Reuven's bracha. But if the Torah doesn't recognize that bracha, then it's totally devoid of the status of a Cheftza Shel Bracha. And therefore, Shimon has nothing to plug into. He says the following: if Reuven is only chayav derabbanan and Shimon is chayav d'oraisa, as far as creating an entity of a bracha, a chiyuv d'rabbanan is enough, it's sufficient. Because once the rabbanan have obligated me, my bracha is a bracha. But as far as gavra bar chiyuv is concerned, as opposed to the chefta shel bracha, here we need a gavra bar chiyuv d'orais. Rav Shmuel is operating with Tzvei Dinim, but not the identical Tzvei Dinim of Rav Elchanan. Far from it. The distinction and the Tzvei Dinim of Rav Shmuel is the classical Brisker distinction between Gavra and Chefta. There are two requirements in order to set up a situation of Avos B'Mitzvos. The first requirement is creating a Chefta of a Bracha, a Chefta of a Maisa Mitzvah. The second requirement is in the Gavra has to be a Bar Chiyuv. In other words, in order to achieve Arvus, I need A plus B. Number one, I need that the Chavera who wants to be Yotze has something to plug into. You know, there's an entity called a Maisa Mitzvah, Cheftesha Mitzvah, Bracha, and so forth and so on. And number two, there's got to be Arvus in the sense that they both share a mutual responsibility, the Motzi and the Yotza. With regard to the case of a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan, we can fulfill the first requirement, namely we check off the Chefta Shel Mitzvah, the Chefta Shel Bracha. So even, for example, an Isha in Birkas HaMazon, according to this opinion, or a Katan in Mitzvahs, and he benches, he does have the power to engender a Chefta Shel Bracha insofar as he's Chayav D'Rabbanan. What's lacking here is the second requirement of a Gavra Bar Chiyuvah. And at this point, I would ask you to turn to page 4. Klapi Tnai Zeh, at the end of page 3, going on to page 4, Shehei Bar Chiyuva, it's got to be Kichavero. He's got to share that same level of Chiyuv as his friend. He says, if he's a Gavra Bar Chiyuva, then he could be Motzi. Here's where the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tuvia comes in. I am considered a Gavra Bar Chiyuv insofar as I share that mitzvah, the obligation of that mitzvah in a general sense with you. So therefore, in a case of Kiddush and Tosefes Shabbos, I can be considered a Gavra Bar Chiyuv because as far as this mitzvah is concerned of Kiddush, I will become Chayav in that mitzvah. That's enough to give me the status of a Gavra Bar Chiyuv. As far as the Kiddush itself is concerned, all I need is a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. Tosefes Shabbos is enough to create an entity of Kiddush which the Torah recognizes. Ah, you'll tell me, but I'm not a Gavra Bar Chiyuvah. The answer is, I will become a Gavra Bar Chiyuvah, and that's enough to make me into a Gavra Bar Chiyuvah now. In the language of Rav Shmuel, Ein Tzorech Shiyech Chiyuv before I'll be also Shoshim Avarech. So now what I want to analyze with you is, let's see if we can now understand the conclusions of Rabbeinu Tuvia. Rabbeinu Tuvia says the following. In the case of an Isha, she's only chayeves min rabbanan birkas hamazon. She cannot be considered with regard to this mitzvah a gavra bar chiyuva. In the case of a katan, clearly he's not a gavra bar chiyuva. He doesn't share that responsibility on a deraisa level. Both with regard to an isha and a katan, if you ask the question, did they engender a chefta shel mitzvah, chefta shel bracha, the answer is yes. With regard to a suma, here we get into a complicated mess. We had trouble with Rav Elchanan, we may have trouble with Rav Shmuel as well. Because it's difficult to classify a Suma as a Bar Chiyuva. But the answer must be that since, in some sense, down the line he could become a Bar Chiyuva, that's enough to consider him a Bar Chiyuva, even now. What do we gain from this Rav Shmuel? And with this we'll wrap up the shiur. And this you'll see on the bottom of your page 4. In the mitzvah of Megillah, the halacha is that a katan cannot read the Megillah for a gadol. And Tosfos says that even though Megillah is only a mitzvah derabbanon, nevertheless the case of a katan is trei derabbanon, meaning not only does he have the mitzvah derabbanon, second level mitzvah of Megillah, but it's a second level in addition because he's not a gadol, he's a katan, his chiyuv chinuch is only derabbanon. So trei derabbanon is lower than chad derabbanon, and therefore the katan cannot read the Megillah on behalf of the god. Nevertheless, with regard to Ner Chanukah, which should be ostensibly identical to Megillah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tav Reish Ayin Aleph in the name of Yesh Omrim that a katan sheigia lechinuch can light the candles on behalf of the entire household, even the gedolim in the house. Maishna Megillah, Maishna Chanukah. And here, my friends, is where I think Reb Shmuel Rizovsky can really come to bat for us. Okay? And what is that? In the case of Megillah, what we need is an action of Kriyas HaMegillah. That action is only recognized by the halacha if you're chayav. And the chiyuv of a katan, insofar as it's trei drabanan, doesn't create an entity. Meaning, there's only a maisa here, there's no chefta. You remember that Reb Shmuel said that in the case of a katan, he can create a chefta. Perhaps we could suggest then that in the case of Ner Chanukah, what you need is a chefta of a ner. And the chiyuv drabanan is enough to engender a chefta shel ner. Even though the katan's chiyuv is on a lower level than that of a gadol, nevertheless, he creates an entity of a ner chanukah. For example, the din of asur lahanos mimena, that you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of the air, the ner, asur l'sham shel, all those dinim would apply to a katan insofar as his chiyuv engenders a chefta shel ner chanukah. And therefore I, the gadol, can plug in to that chiyuv. It's kind of like ner yishuv beis, so it means the bayis has to be equipped with an ner chanukah. Well, the katan, according to this opinion, has enough energy for us to engender and create a ner chanukah. So ner yishuv beis was fulfilled. Not so in the case of Megillah. Okay, I'm going to take a break now and answer some of the questions here. Okay. David is asking, okay, the video cut out for a few seconds a few times, so that's a technological question which I can't answer. Okay. As far as the suma is concerned, how bad is bad? In other words, is there a possibility that his eye disease, you know, might be reversed later on, that he could really be subject to a fantastic eye surgery? Okay, that's a good point. Maybe that would be relevant. Again, we try to take it more to a conceptual level. And then Rumi's point is that on Motzi Shabbos, a wife greets her husband with Shavua Tov. Since she fulfills her mitzvah of Havdalah on a Doraisa level, and he could be, and this allows him to be motzi her chiyuv Doraisa for Havdalah. Are you saying that, if I understood you, Ruby, what you're saying is that by her reciting Shavua Tov, or Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, she has now fulfilled her chiyuv d'orais of Havdalah. Now it's down to a d'rabbanan level. He, her husband, has fulfilled his mitzvah d'oraisa by reciting Havdalah in Atachonin, in Ma'ariv, and therefore they're both on the same level. He can be motzi her. I don't think that's necessary. And I'll tell you why. Because even if, just one second, the mitzvah of Havdalah is Doraisa, and the man has fulfilled his mitzvah Doraisa, he can still be motzi the Isha, although she's chayevis doraisa and he fulfilled his mitzvah doraisa and he's only chayev in rabbanon. Because again, this is the principle of yotza motzi insofar as he once had the chiyuv. The problem with a woman, let's say in Birkas Hamazon, is she never had the chiyuv doraisa, and therefore she can't be motzi him. In the case of a man, as far as Avdolah is concerned, even if he fulfilled his mitzvah doraisa, and probably even if he filled his mitzvah rabbanon, he could still recite the bracha on behalf of the isha. The only problem is it might be an issue of bracha levatola. So again, what we're going to suggest is that insofar as a man is chayav in the mitzvah d'oraisa of Havdalah, even if he's fulfilled that mitzvah, he could still create an entity, a cheftza shel Havdalah, according to Rav Ruvain's understanding of Rabbeinu Tuvia, and therefore she could be yotzei. I don't know if it's necessary for her to say Shavua Tov. Now, as far as Neri Shubeso is concerned, getting back to that question, it seems to me that Neri Shubeso means that the bayit has to be supplied with a cheft of an Ner Chanukah, and it could very well be, and that's one day in the Shulchan Aruch, that a katan, even though he doesn't have a chiyuv, a full-fledged chiyuv like a gadol in Ner Chanukah, nevertheless he can create a cheft, an entity of an Ner Chanukah based on the logic of Rav Ruvain, and therefore even the gedolim in the house can fulfill their mitzvah of Ner Ish Uveto. Now, Daniel Hoffman is asking me a question as far as a shota is concerned. A shota ledavar, meaning somebody with, let's see, OCD, right? And with regard to such a person, let's say, for example, in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, with a Kohen who has OCD and he's being washed by a Levi. Okay, these are complicated shilas. I don't know if I can address them now, but maybe we'll look them up. And David's... Yeah, what do you say?
It just occurs to me that a lot of this is relevant with people who are shota, and they have plenty of areas of competence, legally, halachically. But they have areas where maybe they can't be most the other people if they're shota for a certain specific thing.
Right.
Like somebody who has to have something exactly right, which is kind of what scrupulosity OCD is, that everything has to be just so with symmetry and everything has to be perfect. And that can come up easily with a religious bent. Like, did you wash my hands properly before the avoda, for example?
So definitely I would say that there is such a thing as a shota for certain mitzvahs and not for other mitzvahs. The question would be, in the light of Rabbeinu Tuvia, especially the way Rabbi Elchanan understood Rabbeinu Tuvia, perhaps he could be motzi me even in that mitzvah that he's exempt from, because of the fact that he is a bar chiyuva with regard to klala mitzvahs. The only thing is that we have that additional condition that may or may not be met in the case of this OCD patient, and that is that we can anticipate down the line, I mean, this is something that we have to ask the psychiatrist, the psychologist, that he will be cured, and therefore he will be included in that chiyuv. You know, in the case of Shabbos, clearly, I'm a bar chiyuv, and now even Erev Shabbos, because I will definitely be chayev in the mitzvah of Kiddush in the next hour or two. Okay, now David Spiegel is asking me, with regard to the Summa, is there a difference between eye disease or a case where someone just, you know, his eyes were removed? And the answer might be yes, because again, in the light of Rabbeinu Tuvia, you know, we have to postulate that, you know, we anticipate the mitzvah to come around. Okay, Rabosai, I'm going to give now a shiur in Masechta Makis. And I appreciate everyone coming today. This gives me a lot of chizuk because I've been wavering a little bit. Please let me know about Thursday night, the 10:30 shiur, if that's a possibility for you. And that would be great. Okay, so I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. And once again, yashar koach. And I hope to see you at future shiurim. And please send me comments and questions by email. Thank you so much.